I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support. Now
hey,
let's get back to the
type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. I've got a really good looking guy here today, although I was expecting him to be wearing like a bow tie and a little tuxedo, but he's not. But man, just had a great time catching up with this guy a few minutes before we hit the record button. Just really love his leadership, vulnerability, just the way he cares about others. And so I got Chippendale on, and Vance, good to see you.
Good to see you, Clay.
Like to get started is just first workout, who EH'd you, any stories or memories from that, and then how'd you get the name Chippendale? I don't think I know that story, so I'm excited to hear that.
You don't know this story. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, glad to share it. So my first workout, who was leading that? Bubbles was on the queue. It was at Top Rope. It was back in 2020, so October of 2020, height of COVID stuff, which was very, very interesting. And that first workout, I didn't really know what to expect. So I got in EH'd by several people, but, essentially Mufasa drugged me out there, cause we're neighbors essentially, Jean-Claude had talked to me multiple times about that, and I thought that was the craziest idea ever. But essentially, Mufasa stopped in my driveway and said, "Hey, tomorrow morning I'm picking you up, so you're coming out."
Nice.
And I agreed, and met Bubbles that first day.
gotta love a good Bubbles cue, right?
Yes, it was full of. Interesting things like monkey humpers and stuff. I had no clue what I was doing, but went along with it and, you know, thought it was a contest, right? Who's going to be the best and most in shape. And I would have lost that one completely. So
what
I'd maybe even lose that today.
Well, yeah, you and me both, man, my fitness is dropping as we've had more kids, but well, so once you got in the circle, tell us about the name story. How did they land on Chippendale?
So one, I couldn't breathe. I was still gassed from the workout, and of course, no heads up on, hey, you're entering the circle. So they Bubbles invites me in, and you know, I said, "Hey, I'm Brian Farley. I've got four daughters. I love soccer. I played soccer and wrestled in college. I, you know, just started telling them a few things. I'm in mortgage lending, you know," and they're like, "Farley, SNL, Chippendale," boom. And it was like, bam, they went right to Saturday Night Live and Patrick Swayze and all that stuff. So that's how I ended up with Chippendale.
So it was not because of a former career in dancing or anything like that.
Oh, I wish. I have a hard time dancing and being coordinated enough to do that.
Oh, I love it. You know, you're not the first guy that's told us Mufasa likes to EH guys and then not give you any details about what to expect. So I don't know if that, it's definitely his you know, how he does it. So, and yes, that seemed to work, right? What was your progression? Did you go to a workout on Thursday or when, what was your second workout? Do you remember?
So second one, I don't remember. I know it wasn't Thursday. I had a hard time sitting down. I hadn't worked out really consistently for many, many years after college and playing soccer and wrestling. I was done. I didn't really want to do much of anything. And I belonged to Lifetime and drove by there and waved my couple hundred dollars goodbye. And I would go there every once in a while. And what I didn't realize until later was I'm better at taking orders. Mm. Like I loved showing up and they're like, do Merkins, do burpees, do, you know, and just ready, set, go. And I would be like, oh, I can do that. But I would go to the gym and I was like, oh, I think I did this in high school. I should do that here. And I was just bored by myself.
You know, that's a really good point that like putting together your own workout plan is not easy, right? Like if like trying to go to the gym and figure out, you know, and that's how I think you end up. Like right now I lift weights a couple of days a week and I'm pretty sure I'm just doing arms and chest. Like I need a weight. I need to come up with a program or something. But so talk us through a little bit your fitness journey. So you played soccer and that, you know, seemed like where'd you play, I guess? Tell us about that.
I played at Briarcliff College in Sioux City, which NAI school, real, you know, small. We had a bunch of good athletes, not very good soccer players, so we did okay. But it was really just a chance to keep playing and enjoying the soccer thing. And I really didn't understand soccer till I was in college. That's where my soccer knowledge went to another level. It was cool to see. But I just remember being in great shape. I could run, you know, 5-6 miles and not even be winded. And I just like, those were really good times. But once I was done with that, I mean, that was, a lot of years of working out and just burnt out. And then priorities in life and kids took over and, my own fitness kind of put that on the back burner for a long,
for sure,
long time.
Did you, are you from Omaha?
Originally from Lincoln.
Perfect.
Went to Pius High School in Lincoln. And
so kind of from this area, did you play soccer against all these guys that went to Hastings or?
So I played against some of them. I didn't know them then. Hastings was kind of a rival for sure.
But can you vouch, like, was Tonight Show as good as he says he is, or?
I don't remember playing against him.
At least he was not memorable, is what I'm hearing.
Tonight Show. Yeah, that would be a good description of Tonight Show.
Oh, that's too funny. I'm going to give him a hard time about that.
He probably doesn't remember me either. So there you go.
I love it. It's just funny to like, it's such a small world, you know, like when you start thinking about like, wow, we interacted then and, you know, and now here we are in F3 together. I just had that happen this morning with a guy that, anyway, long story short, it's just small world. What, you know, as you think about then, as you started getting into F3, was there a point where you started getting more consistent, or did you go to weights workouts, or where did you find yourself kind of getting back in that groove of more routine fitness?
Well, so I was real spotty to start. And some of it was the height of 2020 was in my workaday world was really extremely busy, and I was working day and night, and it got hard, but I was encouraged to keep coming out. Jean-Claude was very good about asking me to come out and encouraging me to come to Titan Alley. He was at Titan Alley at the time. And so it's like, hey, you got to come down here and do this Murph thing. And I'm like, that sounds terrible. And I did it, of course. About threw up that morning, but they were gracious to me and helped me along. It was a lot of fun. And then that became my Monday morning was Titan Alley, Smurfin. That was almost every Monday for quite some time. And so I was sporadic at the beginning, and then, you know, started to get into a groove where it became part of my schedule and getting to bed and getting up. And it was always the guys are going to be out there. Like, Vandalay's going to be there, and Jean-Claude's going to be there, and Plague's going to be there. It was just like, I got to know these guys that I'd run with or be standing next to. And it was like, dang it. That accountability just pulled me
in. That's awesome. And yeah, I'm curious if you would tell us a little bit more about that, because I feel like you were pretty well connected before, but then how did you grow those relationships, or what was sort of your approach to getting to know some of the guys? Because I feel like the number of guys you're connected with now is, I mean, I don't know if it's more than it was when you started, or maybe you just already knew those guys because of work, or...
I didn't know a lot of them. I mean, you know, some of them I really desired to get to know the guys because I didn't have any connection with them. So I just started showing up early, pre-running, and that's where a lot of the conversations happened, or I did a lot of listening, but I got to know them, and I was blown away with whether it was running with U-Haul or Othello or whoever. Like, these guys have all different backgrounds. Or I ran with Sven and I'm like, or Pea Soup, and I'm like, what the heck? You guys do this, and I'm like here, like, oh my gosh, you guys are incredible people. And I just loved hearing their stories, and that was my favorite line. You know, I would start running, so I'd talk early. And during the pre-run, I'm like, hey, tell me your story. I'm so excited to hear it. And I just
be quiet. There you go. That's a good approach for that. I like that. I need to do more of that probably. I ran this morning in the rain with Bouncer, and man, you know, just those conversations while you're running, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because you kind of get delirious halfway through or what, but you go to a different level, and it's sort of like, I can't believe we were just talking about that, you know, but it's so cool and it's so necessary. So kudos to you on that. What about, you know, just curious, it kind of on this like second F piece, it, you know, as you think about other opportunities, so Q-Source or coffee, or how long did it take you to get involved in some of those things, or maybe even happy hour or lunches?
So I've participated in all the above at some point, whether, you know, depending on schedules and all that. But, you know, I love the pre-runs. I love the conversation piece there. Cafeteria is great. Like, I didn't, you know, I always had the morning with young kids. I had the morning running kids to school. So it was leaving at 7:25 to get to school. So having to get home, get kids out of bed, making sure that all happens, breakfast, lunches, all that. So I was kind of sporadic on the coffee, but that's kind of my happy place, is really sitting and enjoying coffee with guys. So that second F, and done some of the happy hours and first Friday lunches, and gosh, those are always just really good times. Half the guys you don't recognize because you're like, coming off winter, and you're like, oh,
you have hair.
I've introduced myself to guys. I'm like, hey, Chippendale. And they're like, I was just with you this morning. I'm like, oh,
well, that's all right. I love that. You know, when you get a text or you see somebody and you're like, you know, you're with your family. It never fails. I'm with my family and I'm trying to introduce the guy. And I'm like, this is, and I don't know your real name, you know, it's like, you know, I'm getting better, but it's hard to keep track of it all. Right.
What do we call that? F3 in the wild, seeing them in the wild. Like it happened to me the other day. I saw somebody there like, hey, Chippendale. And I was like, good to see you. And I was at a loss. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Hoser and I were at the same event, and we both went up to get a drink at the same time. And I like look over, and in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, I could probably EH this guy. And I look at him again, and I'm like, Hoser? He's like, Plague? Like, it was just this moment of like, wait a minute. And then of course it was, after that, it was hard for our wives to get us to leave. Cause we were, you know, then we were actually having fun at this thing that was kind of a horse event. But, you know, in Free to Lead, it talks a little bit about like male loneliness or like, you know, the power of having strong male relationships. What's been your journey with that? Like, do you feel like throughout life you've had some of those key friends in place, or has F3 helped with that? Or what's your take on sort of that issue when it comes to F3?
So I have been very fortunate, and I have some handful of really close male connections. One of them is like my best friend from college. I'm still really tight with him today. He knows everything about me, all the skeletons in the closet. He knows my kids. He's been there through everything. Long time friend. And that he's probably the one I lean on the most. His F3 name's Travelocity. Okay. Nice. You wouldn't know him because I think he's been out twice. I think they've both been anniversary cues for me, so I've drug him out. But he's probably one of the guys that I've leaned on the most for 20 plus years.
That's cool.
And I talk to him, if not every 2 days, every 3 days, and him and I lead a Bible study together. On Friday mornings, him and I have, you know, done a lot. You know, he recommends books to me. He is really integrated into my life, and my kids' life. So yeah, that's
awesome.
That was something that's been in place for a long time. That wasn't something I was really searching for. However, I believe, just raising girls, it takes a village. And I don't know how many times at coffee or, you know, running, I remember girl dad early on asking him about like one of his daughter's scenarios and my youngest daughter's medical situation, you know, just asking like, what do you do? How do you deal with this? And I mean, so it takes a village to, you know, raise these girls, and I've leaned on a lot of the guys over time for prayers and advice, which is always needed.
Man, that's so key. Cause I feel like you never know when you show up, you never know what's going to be going on, you know, in somebody else's life or what they'll be going through or what you'll be going through, you know? And it's like, I feel like I know I've had several mornings where it's like, I just need to go and share something out loud and have somebody say, you know, you'll get through it, or me too, or, you know, I feel like that's one of the best parts about F3. Do you feel like as you've progressed in F3, do you feel like you've built some more friendships that are at that level, or kind of hard to compete with somebody you've known for 20 years, but do you feel like you've gotten close with some other guys or added to that?
I feel like I have, the relationships are really good. And, you know, I think they've definitely grown, you know, a lot of it's, you know, being transparent, being vulnerable to people. And I think I do a okay job at that. Probably not the best, but, you know, I think there's room for improvement in that area. You know, letting more guys in, and vice versa, you know, giving back to them.
But, for sure. Well, that's where the shield lock kind of comes in. And, you know, just kind of curious if you had a chance to get in a shield lock, or is that not something you've had an opportunity to participate in?
So I haven't. I think it's an unofficial official shield lock. I don't know what you'd call it. You know, a lot of the Southwest guys, you know, Southwest Omaha, you know, Escobar and Kickstand and Light Bright and those guys, and Yogi and Rowdy, and kind of text accountability. I'm probably the quiet person in that group.
Yeah.
they would probably tell you the same. They're like, oh, Chip and Dale, yeah. What? Who's he? But those guys are, you know, little do they know, probably as quiet as I am, just going and doing my life and trying to fit in stuff that I can. The stuff they say is encouraging. The stuff they do or where they're posting or where they're going to be at this week, like it affects me. It draws me in to want to do more, but sometimes I got to pick and choose what I'm prioritizing.
Yeah. I kind of have learned when Escobar gives you a nickname on top of your nickname, I think he calls you Chipper or, you know, so then that means you're kind of it. You're in that shield lock, I think. Right. You know, part of that group.
Yeah. They're wonderful people, man. They have hearts of gold and they're
fantastic. I have to share, Saturday we were, Hoser and I were two of the people helping clean up this horse barn. And I was texting a few people where we were at and, you know, not expecting anybody to show up, but a few guys showed up and, of course Escobar's wearing his F3 shirt and, you know, it was kickstand, Escobar, light bright, mulch, and I think barbed wire. And hopefully I'm not forgetting anybody, but they show up and Hoser's wife sees this F3 shirt and just starts bawling. What are you guys doing here? I can't believe you're here to help. Like just, you know, so it's you're absolutely right. Those guys were like, where's the help needed? We're going, you know, it's like, which was so cool.
Great. But,
you know, the other part kind of within the second F piece of like relationships, we talk about like the concentrica. So your M and your 2.0, so your relationship with your wife and your kids, how have those things progressed over the last couple of years? Do you feel like as you've been around this group of guys kind of having that positive influence or guys maybe in a COT, or do you feel like, have you noticed any improvements or changes in those other relationships?
You know, I really have. I think with my 2.0s, it's been a wonderful, you know, conversation piece, you know, and I definitely hear stuff in COTs and it challenges me to go home and have those conversations. And a lot of it's really just being an example. I mean, the way I lead in my house is by being an example. My kids are very athletic, very involved in athletics. And, you know, if they see me up early working out, you taking care of myself, like I don't need to tell them anything, just show them. And I think that's been positive for them. And then, you know, for my M, there's a lot of conversations that stem from COTs, you know, challenges where, you know, Vlasic will say something and I'm like, gosh, I should really pay attention to that and really should go home and ask. And you know, it's challenged me as a father on being a better dad and being a better role model for my kids.
Yeah. How is it raising four girls? What's that like? We've got our third kid on the way. We don't know the gender. I'm fairly certain it's going to be a girl. So I'm looking to you for how do you do that with four girls?
When they're young, they're unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They're so good. I have two basically teenagers now, and that's been an adjustment, something that I'm not used to. I'm not understanding. It gets hard. I'm struggling through it. I'm reading books. So I'm just trying. I don't have the corner on raising girls. That's for sure.
You're ahead of me by far in the eight, you know, with their ages. So I'll reach out in a few more years and see if you figured it out. Cause I know what I was like as a teenage boy and that makes me terrified to be, you know, raising girls.
Me too.
Which is, you know, which maybe one of the things we're hoping to do in F3 is influence men to raise their boys better. I'm hoping, you know, but I don't know. There's some stuff that might just be ingrained in our DNA as men that we, I don't know what,
I think you can be onto something there.
Yeah. you know, the other piece, and you kind of mentioned this with Travelocity, caught a little bit of a note there about the Bible study that you lead, but curious when you think about faith, what's been your journey, your kind of story on that third F faith side?
So faith has always been a something I grew up with, something that I'm passionate about. You and I have had conversations for sure on this, but I grew up Catholic grade school, high school, college, fell away from my faith for a season there, but it's always been really ingrained in me and something that's a super high priority. And one of the things that I started doing was, on kind of my girls' school, I'd be sitting at games, basketball games or volleyball, whatever, and hear dads, non F3 dads, talking about their wives and their, and just the names they would refer them to. And I was like, this is not good. I got to fix this. And I was like, you know what? I'm already up super early in the morning. I'm going to start a Bible study on Thursday mornings and give up my Thursday morning, either Iditarod or maze, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, the maze, I went to the maze a lot, but gave up going there to start a Bible study on Thursday mornings. I happened to go this morning because I haven't been there in almost 8 months. I started it probably 2 years ago. I showed up. There was 15 new faces that I don't know that are all there still going and working and, pouring into each other. I was like, this is awesome. This is cool. This is why I started this with a friend of mine. And this is what I wanted to do was make an impact on some men outside of F3. And now there's a guy in that group who saw me talking about F3, and I would show up and work out before the Bible study in the parking lot. And now he just took the flag at Trident.
Oh my gosh. Pitchfork.
Pitchfork. Yeah. So he's in that Thursday morning Bible study. So he was there.
That's super cool.
This morning. And he's been in that group for quite some time, but he was always asking me, like, I'd wear an F3 shirt or I'd work out and do pull ups or a Murph and then pop in there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And then now he's leading.
Yeah. Cause his twin brother, he's got a twin brother who's also in F3. What's his name?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know it. He's a Sarpy guy. But he does have a twin brother.
I was just there at the shovel pass, and I can picture him because they look the same. But
that's
so cool. So now, kind of like meshing these two groups together, almost, right?
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So now him and I were volunteering at the school yesterday, doing some stuff for a color run for the kids, and as soon as he saw me, he's like, "Dude." Don't pass this and that, got the flag. I said, get me on the queue schedule. And so we started talking about it. Awesome. So just a bond, another bond. It's great.
You know, it's so cool too, because there's kind of this every man needs F3, F3 needs every man kind of thing. And, depending on where a guy is at, maybe they're already doing a Bible study and they come into F3 and their faith is really strong, but they haven't been disciplined in their, fitness or their relationships. But are you EHing more of those guys? I think is the question. You got to go keep going on Thursdays and EH those guys, and then EH some F3 guys to come to the Bible study.
Yeah, that's I talk to them, a lot of them about it. A lot of them know, just now getting them out of bed on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Friday,
right?
But
what do you think? You mentioned your journey. You've maybe for a season fell away from your faith and then kind of got back into it. Was there anything in that space that kind of helped you get back into things? A lot of guys that we talk to are in the season where they've fallen away and maybe haven't gone back to explore what they believe. And I don't know, curious from your experience, what was there anything, or it was just sort of, you just remembered like, oh yeah, this needs to be a priority. And so you made it happen, or how'd you do that?
Yeah, it's a kind of a combination of both, but, Travelocity, I I got a chance to be connected with him, and we have a similar journey because we were so tight, but we kind of fell away, and then we changed our association. At that same time, we changed our association of friends, and the new association of friends, thank goodness, thank God, they were further down the journey and the path than we were, and it drew us in. And we just, when we changed our association, what we realized is these guys and gals, they had fun. They didn't have the same language that all of our other friends did. And we're like, why are you guys so different? Why are you such givers? Why are you so interested in us? And that's what pulled us in. And then we turned. We changed. We started going back to church and getting involved.
Yeah.
When you say you changed
your association, do you mean you just went to a different denomination? Am I hearing you right? Or what do you mean by that, I guess?
Just a different set of friends. We just changed our friend association. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. The friends that were distractors or not really going in the right direction. That's good. And that's hard to do. I've had to do that for sure in my lifetime. But tell me.
and my path was very similar. Like I went down, I was a soccer player, so it was a lot of drinking and stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. And when you get around people that that's what they do for fun, that's what drags you in. And when I changed that association, it just made all the difference in the world. And it wasn't easy. I lost a lot of friends because of that, which is
I'm curious because this, a lot of people ask me this question, and I think we sometimes we have to be careful because not everybody is an alcoholic or an addict, right? But in your journey, did you get to that point where it was hard to stop, or you were just sort of like, this is getting out of hand, and it sounds like you were able to kind of redirect pretty easily.
Yeah, it was just too much, too frequent, so changed. And it was easy to recognize.
Just realized time to grow up a little bit and moved on. I love it. Yo, Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. And today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, aka Michael Pfluger at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3. And see how Michael can guide your financial journey today.
Curious as you're thinking about the third F, the other piece, that kind of comes up in this realm is the community service stuff. And just curious if there's, what's been your experience with that? Have you had any opportunities to do the Abide or Heartland Hope or any of those things?
Heartland Hope. I haven't. It's, a lot of times those are on weekends or whatever it might be. And my schedule just doesn't really allow with my wife. She works on the weekends on Saturday. So that's kind of dad day to run kids around. So I get caught up in that. So, yeah. So, those are days I see guys at volleyball tournaments or basketball tournaments and bump into them. But so I haven't really done a whole lot with that. However, I did, I think that's so important. I like my daughters, we volunteer for, what is Creighton Prep's deal? They help out families. God, I'm escaping the name, but every Christmas they do that, or right around in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they do an event. Can't believe I can't remember the name of it, but we volunteered for that and we took food and stuff to families, needy families. And so that's always a blessing to see my kids deliver food to an apartment and they're like, wow, I can't believe people live here. Like, this is different than what they understand and know.
Yeah. Well, another good example of leading by example, right? Kind of showing them, hey, here's what we do, right? We serve other people. And, you know, there's so many opportunities. I was just talking with Cheap Seats this morning about somehow we got to find some volunteer opportunities that are available throughout the week, because Saturdays are just, you know, as kids get older and get into more activities, you just get busier. And so then Saturdays are, you know, it's harder to find 14, 15 guys that can go serve at a place, which, you know, I think either, I don't know if we need to move events to the week or maybe we need to look at how we're spending time. But I think when you got four kids and they're all doing activities, I'm sure your weekends are pretty much scheduled out for you guys.
My automatic answer is people are like, hey, you available this weekend? No, catch me in 10 years. Like, my automatic answer is no. Like, and that's actually with my personality, that's really hard for me, because naturally my answer to everyone is yes. And I've had to go to a season of no's, which is not easy for me, because I want to say yes. I want to be available. I want to do other things, but can't do it.
Yeah. How have you overcome that? Because I think there's a lot of us that struggle with that. I know that's a challenge for me too, but, or is it just, has it been simple? You're like, nope, family's first and this is what we're doing, or how have you worked through that?
Well, it's not simple, because it comes with razzing and, you know, people are like, what? Come on. We need you here. It's like, I know. I just, and I really had to come to the grips with, my answer is going to be no for a little bit. And it's just the season I'm in. It's just no. I mean, and if I can't make a morning or if I can't make an event, it's okay. Life moves on. The answer is no. And I can't say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And I want to say yes to my kids and my family. Like I really had to change my mindset on that, because especially with my job tends to be a little demanding, especially on weekends, Saturdays, Sundays, people are looking at houses, buying houses, calling me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would get to the point where I'd get overwhelmed with stress of being available and saying yes to work. And then I got to the point where I was like, you know, I get to go to my kids' games. I get to fly to Los Angeles to do a soccer tournament. I get to go to Chicago. It's so much fun. Yeah, but right. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. Well, and you know, if you say it enough, right, it starts to become more reality. You start to get more grateful for it. And yeah, I love that, because I think, you know, the world will always take what we give it, right? Like the world, our jobs, you know, nobody's going to tell you like work less, right? That's not really a common message, you know? So even with work, putting up those boundaries, I think is amazing. So kudos to you for doing that. You know, want to segue a little bit into your time as a site Q at Mission Forge, and kind of this, you know, we're trying to reinvigorate male community leadership, and the site Q role is maybe one of the ways we try to do that. But what was that like, being the site Q? Tell us kind of your journey, and I would be curious if you feel like that role helped with anything from a leadership perspective, or what's your take on that?
Well, I think if there's an award for the best site Q, I would be in the mix for that award. I really do. honestly, I didn't know what was all involved in being a site Q. Really didn't have a desire to be a site Q. And of course, Yogi and Escobar cornered Kickstand and I, did a pre-run, talked about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm all in. Like, let's do this. And T-claps to Kickstand, to be honest. I'm probably on the bottom of as far as site queues. 2023 was probably one of the hardest years for me work-wise, personally. And Kickstand and I took the flag. I was really excited about Gung Ho. This is awesome. Teaming up with Kickstand, which I love Kickstand. And about halfway through the year, my life got really hard. It just got really complicated, really challenging. And I stepped away and I wasn't around. And thank God Kickstand picked up my slack. And I will be forever grateful for him doing that, because Mission Forge carried on and there's a bunch of new guys there, F&Gs, and just fantastic. And really he identified Barbed Wire Anonymous to kind of take that over, and you know, he did fantastic. So, but I think as far as leading, you know, I think being a site queue was built up in my head to be bigger than it really is.
Sure.
I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but that's kind of how it felt. And it was an honor to be asked, and an honor to do it. But thank God for Kickstand.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and we, you know, the CoQ site queue kind of deal is a newer thing, maybe the last, you know, two, three-ish years. And I think there's a reason we do that, right? And I think it's, you know, not just that, but if guys have a job that maybe they can't be there every week, or, but you never know when something's going to come up, right? And, you know, I'm curious, and you don't have to if you're not comfortable, can you elaborate on anything that was going on in 23 that made it challenging for you?
Oh, it's a big ball of wax, but, and it was kind of a culmination of a lot of different things, you know, whether my oldest daughter starting high school, me being roped into, I'm the shuttle bus for multiple girls in our area of town to drive them over to 72nd and Military, over to Marion High School. Hmm. And so getting them up early, they had to be up and out the door by 6:30. So that became really, really challenging. Work-wise was a very challenging year. My wife took on some more responsibilities. So it was kind of a culmination of a lot of things that didn't allow me to be all in, which was really, really challenging, really, really hard for me.
Yeah. And you were being asked to step up in some of your other responsibilities, right? Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Trying to get kids to school by 6:30. Yeah. And there's a lot of you got to make sure they wake up, and you got to, you know, for sure. Well, I appreciate you just sharing that. And I think there's, you know, just sort of an awareness of, you know, everybody's going through something, right? And it doesn't have to be even anything tragic necessarily. It's just as your season changes, as your family changes, maybe your M gets a new job, or your kids move into a different sort of season of their school or whatever it might be. I mean, I think there's so many things that impact our abilities to do extra stuff, you know? So, yeah. And, you know, at the Shovel Pass, you made it seem like you were there the whole time. I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, I think it was like, oh yeah, Chippendale. He's
yeah, it was a facade. Yeah, I was not.
Well, definitely appreciate your leadership. Just from the time that you feel like maybe you were able to contribute, do you feel like you came across anything that would be good advice for site queues, as maybe guys are taking on a flag or looking to lead a site?
The only thing I would say is don't fear it, embrace it, jump in. You got a ton of help, ton of support, you know, especially leading a site. People happily volunteer to lead and queue a day. Just ask them. We got a lot of people just at coffee or First Friday lunches or whatever it was, like, hey, you'd be good, come on over to Mission Forge. And then kind of building that schedule. We had the schedule built out a long ways. And so it was a little challenging. Kickstand ran a lot of that even right when we started, the scheduling stuff. And I did some things and he did others. And he did it all. But really just trying to build in some VQs in there and jumbling people around. So, but it's a great opportunity to get to know guys, and guys look up to you. So I would say jump in, embrace it, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there have been a lot of new guys at Mission Forge, which is just wild to see, because I don't get south too often, although I try. But at the Shovel Pass, I feel like there were several guys that I'm like, wow, I don't know that I, you know, Boob Tube or some of those guys that I haven't worked out with very often. And it's just cool to see guys, you know, new guys showing up, and then they're getting in, they're engaged and they're leaning in, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great to see them. It's really fun. Really encouraging.
What about just other advice in general? Maybe it's for a new guy or guys that haven't been in F3 for very long. Anything you would share from just your experience?
But one of the things I would just encourage people to do is, you know, modify as necessary, and don't be afraid to just get out there, be consistent. And modify. If you're, you know, the, you know, in the world of EHing people, you know, people are like, oh, I got to be in shape to come out there. Look at you guys. You know, it's like, no, right. You join F3 to get into shape, not the other way around. And it's so true, but I think people fear that or are concerned with that. And I would just say, get in, modify. And enjoy the relationships. I've heard many people say, you know, I love the coffee. I go for coffee. And I, you know, what was it? Fine print said that or something. And, you know, I enjoy that. I mean, I got to know Blades and Cheap Seats pre-running around Lake Zirinsky on a Tuesday. And Barndoor, shoot, we did that all winter long, and I was like, these guys are crazy. They're in such good shape. And they would hang back and, you know, drag me across the path. But you know, that's the stuff that's enjoyable to me, you know, really, really doing that, getting to know people.
Yeah, I love it. And there's so many opportunities, so many different things now. It's like, and we keep adding more.
Yes.
It seems like to the list. What I forgot to ask you this earlier, but I guess, where are you at today on your first F fitness wise? Are you back to those college soccer days, or you got some room to go, or where are you at?
Well, definitely room to grow. I'm you know, I'm kind of, I like the pain. So, you know, I'll be, you know, really good for a while, and then I'll tail off, and then I'll jump back in, and I'm sore again. I'm like, why do I do that to myself? But I ran my first 10K, 5K, 10K, all in F3. I couldn't run around the block or run to the mailbox and back, but then shoot, we were doing 5K every day. You know, that's just, that just seemed foreign. Like I would never get to that point. And, did that all the time, and it's really great. So now I have, you know, shoot, I'd love to do a half someday.
There you go. Yeah, there's been a couple guys doing their first half. I, you know, my running mileage has gone way down since our second daughter was born in 21, and so I'm like, I see guys out there on Sundays. I'm so jealous. I can't get out there. It's the weekend.
I think we got to clarify your running going down.
Well, yeah, you know, if you look at my Strava data, I think it just...
I'm checking it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still more than mine.
Right. Oh, man. Well, what's next for you? What season are you in right now? Where do you need prayers, encouragement? Next time we see you out there, what's something we should check in with you on?
Well, I think prayer requests for sure would be patience. In raising my daughters, just to have that patience and that ability maybe to think before you speak would be great. You know, because sometimes, you know, they don't want to hear me. They just want me to listen. So patience. I would love prayers to be a better encourager and be more consistent and coming out and being present and all of that, because I do enjoy F3. I enjoy everything it's about. I love seeing guys out in the wild. I love seeing all the good that as an organization we're doing. It's impressive. It stands out for sure.
Yeah. What, just curious for you, what gets you out? Is it somebody texting you the night before, or it just kind of depends? Like what's the tipping point? If we're like, okay, we got to get Chippendale out there. What do we get? We have to tell you we're going to do a bunch of burpees or.
You and your burpee challenge. It's encouraging just to let me know who's going to be where and what's going on. And that usually that peer pressure, that little poking, it does encourage me to get out there. And it's finding the balance of, I need sleep now. I need to be there, be present. So those are always good.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's been a few guys that are exploring what it looks like to get good sleep. And I will tell you, the idea of a afternoon or a later morning workout has definitely come up. We haven't launched anything, but I know there's a few guys that are like, hey, sleep's really important for your health. And I'm still in denial on that, I think, but I know for a fact it's good for you. So
I think that just, you know, sometimes kids are at different phases, you know, they're going to bed early. So it's easy to go to bed early, but as they become teenagers and high school, and man, they don't start doing stuff till 10, 11 o'clock. And it's like,
yeah. Do you, when they get to that age, do you feel like, do you go to bed before your kids go to bed now that they're,
I do most nights. I do get some ribbing on that, like from my M was like, hey, we're still awake. Like, you need to be awake. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's how do you, you know, you got to do both things, but you can't go to bed and everyone's awake. And so that's hard.
Yeah. Well, man, I'll be praying, definitely praying for you on the patience piece. I think there's a lot of us that can identify with the need there. And then I'll be reaching out as my girls get older and I'm looking for advice. So, if anybody's got that figured out, have them call the hotline, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. I'll be tuning in. Appreciate you, man, just sharing your story. And it's always a pleasure when I get to see you out there in the gloom. And it's been great talking to you today. So we'll do a little name-a-rama. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, I'll start here. Brandon Fleaharty, 38, The Plague.
Brian Farley, 45, Chippendale.
Chippendale. And what's the call sign? We haven't come up with one yet.
I don't so a lot of the guys say I mumble. Brian Farley, 45, Chippendale. So, and then after I do that, they all mumble. So,
okay.
I don't know. Say it real fast.
Yeah. Say it real fast. Yeah. Well, I was trying to think of what I can picture the routine that Chris Farley does, but I don't know. I'm sure he says something crazy. We could steal from that. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that SNL skit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
Appreciate you too. Likewise.